We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 197. Scott, no manager. Still no Yankees manager. I did not expect that to happen at this point. We're like 2 weeks after the World Series.
Yeah, still no manager. It's very strange. I really thought that this would be wrapped up by now, and it just seems like it's starting, actually, because I guess the whole concept that Brian Cashman had a legitimate plan with legitimate candidates or a legitimate guy or two, maybe at most we thought, is all smoke and mirrors, because maybe he really does have 25 or 73 candidates because they're interviewing guys like Eric Wedge for some ungodknown reason.
So you and I are both being considered at this point.
I don't know what's happening in the Yankee universe over there. The only thing I can think of, and I'll throw a conspiracy theory out at you, is that maybe Brian Cashman is doing this to avoid collusion of any sorts, and this candidate either was under contract or is under contract and is somewhere else right now. And this is all just a bunch of bullshit.
Did you hear that somewhere? Where are you coming up with this?
This is just me talking. This is me talking with another week of zero Yankee news coming out. So I'm coming up with my own theories.
This is the inner workings of Scott's brain?
Yeah. Or maybe I have a source. I don't know.
Can you collude in the offseason? I didn't think that was possible.
No, but what if the collusion could have already happened? It could have already occurred. The collusion could have occurred towards the end of the season when Cashman knew damn well that he was going to fire Girardi, because I think the way it's played out, you and I both believe this has happened.
So this is a bone. I have a bone to pick, because Girardi didn't get fired. Not being rehired and being fired are
same.
Two totally different.
It is exactly the same premise. Bullshit. At this point.
Let me ask you this question. If Girardi had another year on his contract, would he be back for next season?
See, it's an easier firing.
No.
Because there's no money owed.
He would have been back.
It's a nice easy way to do it.
He would have been back.
I don't know, actually. If there was 1 year left and they wanted to go this direction and they saw what this team was doing, you can only wait so long with the current roster that they have. So that actually is an interesting question, because the way that Cashman's talking, that maybe they would have gotten rid of him. I think actually now that I'm thinking they would have. Because they have to do
semantics.
What?
It may be semantics, but I think not being rehired and being fired are totally different things.
I mean, they can be in some circumstances. In this particular circumstance, this is basically a firing. It really is. I mean, this one came out of nowhere. The team was achieving, and they chose not to bring you back for what reason? For some back-end communication reason? That's a firing, if I've ever heard of one.
Did you listen to? So it was interesting, because Monday, both Cashman and Girardi spoke at the same exact time. Cashman was speaking to the media. Girardi was speaking on WFAN with Francesa. Did you listen to those interviews?
I heard parts of them, yeah.
Yeah. Girardi at least treated it like he was disappointed. He was surprised, but I did not get a fired vibe.
Well, he was very surprised. I think that when he walked in, he thought he was coming back. So, I mean, I feel like anytime you feel like you have a job and then all of a sudden you don't have a job, it's not just, I'm not going to, renew your contract. Like, that's an abrupt ending of a relationship, which leads me to believe of a firing. Yeah,
You take a young team to an ALCS, you expect to be rewarded for that kind of
success. You certainly don't expect to be released from your duties and not renewed. I mean, that's what it is. Being released from your duties is fired.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not fired. Fired is a loaded word. Fired means you did something egregious.
No, it doesn't.
I think had the Yankees lost the Cleveland series, then maybe he would have. I could have said, yeah, he was fired because he didn't challenge that play. But this just has a different sort of rub to it.
The thing is that there's an end of a relationship, and this one being so abrupt as it was after success is what leads me to make it feel like it's a firing, because it wasn't on the outside, it wasn't justified. It wasn't a justified reason to let someone go. This guy has never had a losing season. He is the most winning manager, the New York Yankees, and was here for 10 years, won a championship, has a new team, got them way further than anybody ever thought they would, and then there's no contract at the end of the rainbow. That's a firing.
So after he was let go slash fired, we both said Cashman has a grand plan. Cashman knows what he's doing. In Brian Cashman, we trust. Are you starting to get a little bit worried at all?
Yeah, I am. I you know, unless my conspiracy theory is right and there's just some guy that is waiting and he's just can't announce it at this point, which I really don't believe. I don't even believe my own conspiracy theory, but it seems like it's a the fact that Eric Wedge just got interviewed is, you know, it makes no sense to me. It's not like it's a Rooney Rule thing where you got to interview, you know, X amount of people. Like Eric Wedge is like some old white dude that it doesn't matter if you bring him in for an interview. I don't get that. I really don't. He's done nothing really. I mean, what, he was with Cleveland, then he was with Seattle and really underperformed with Seattle, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's done a bad job recently, so I don't know why he's even being looked at or considered at this point. That's like a Joe Torre hire right there.
First of all, he looks exactly like Quint from Jaws.
Ooh, I'd have to look at that. I don't know.
Yes, go look. I was getting back and forth onto it on Twitter this week. He looks exactly like Quint from Jaws. Is
Quint from Jaws the main character?
No, Quentin's the guy that gets eaten by the shark. He's the old time guy who knows the sea.
Oh, okay.
He's at one.
I can't picture him in my head. I gotta look it up.
Anyway, yeah, he did not have a good tenure with Cleveland or with Seattle. It's just he's a name that if he was to be hired as the Yankees manager, you would sort of scratch your head and be like, well, then why not just keep Joe Girardi?
Yeah, exactly. Well, money, it would be a money thing at that point. That's what it would feel like to me.
Well,
it would feel
like
a money thing
with the Yankees. I'm pissed.
Oh, no doubt. I don't think that Eric Wedge is a serious candidate. I mean, I'm really like holding on to the hopes that he's not a serious candidate. I can't believe that he's a
interviewed
serious
though. No, if you're getting interviewed, you're a serious candidate.
I don't get it. I don't get it. It really makes no sense.
A rumor is totally different than an interview. Aaron Boone, David Cone, John Flaherty, all these guys, random ass guys, have been rumored. Eric Wedge was actually interviewed. That's different. That's a serious candidate in my mind.
Well, the other thing is that there could be interviews also for, you know, once a guy is hired, then Cashman has a bank of interviews to go back with and talk with this manager about bringing on other guys to the staff. Eric Wedge feels like a guy that could be on the staff. He feels like a guy who's got managerial experience that could help out a young guy who doesn't have much managerial experience, kind of like your 1A bench coach slash, you know, assistant manager type guy that could help guide and counsel someone who doesn't have enough experience. Now, see, if that's part of this interview process, because we don't know 100% that they're only interviewing for that job, right? They could be interviewing and then talking about other roles.
Do you do that publicly? Do you interview a potential coaching job, a bench coach job or something like that in that sort of public forum? He met with the media afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm thinking is that he was brought in as a managerial candidate. But
yeah.
What I'm saying is that I don't, you know, I'm sure that Cashman is also asking different questions as well at the same time, saying, okay, well, if we don't bring you on for this, would you be interested in this? And maybe that was the only way they could get him in to talk to him. You know, there could be things like that.
What I thought it was is like, you know how a realtor will show you a shitty property at first to then make the other one seem a lot better? That's what I thought Eric Wedge was. He was the shitty apartment with the hole in the wall and the leaky ceiling. So then the realtor takes you to the next place. You're like, this place isn't that bad.
Yeah, but we're not looking for that. We're not looking for the shitty house right now. We're just looking for, I'm not looking for anybody
at this point.
I don't want to see a crappy house. I know what I want the buyer to know exactly what he wants. I don't want this like run of the mill bullshit. Like, why are we even trotting him out? It's making no sense to me because Eric Wedge is not going to take us to the promised land. I can tell you that right now.
Why was he interviewed?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. Like I said, the only thing I could think of is that if he was not a true, I mean, yes, they'll say he was a true candidate because he got interviewed, but there could have been other reasons for the interview. Let me first tell you about Sleep Number and why it's so damn important that we all get sleep, because I know how important it is to get sleep, because I don't have any sleep in the past, what, 2 to 3 months, I have a newborn baby. It's all worth it in my eyes, but I can tell you that sleep is completely out of my brain right now. When you are looking for a bed, please consider Sleep Number. They're sponsoring our podcast. But today and this month, consider someone that you know who's in the military or is a veteran. Imagine how much a good night's sleep actually means to them. This month, Sleep Number is honoring our nation's heroes with savings reserved just for them. We just celebrated Veterans Day on Saturday, and we all know how important it is to thank our veterans. The Sleep Number bed lets you choose your ideal comfort and support on your side. It's the perfect bed for couples also. The newest beds are so smart, they actually sense your every move and automatically adjust while you stay sleeping comfortably through the night. Sleep Number bed costs about the same as a traditional mattress, but it lasts twice as long, and 91% of owners recommend getting a Sleep Number bed. Come in for exclusive savings just for military and veterans. And right now is a semi-annual sale where you can find clearance savings of $600 on a Sleep Number P6 mattress with Sleep IQ technology. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com to find the store near you, and be sure to tell them when you walk in those doors, Bronx Pinstripe sent you.
When Brian Cashman spoke with the media on Monday, it was a little concerning that he said no front runners for the manager position. And I know he's not going to come out and say these are the guys I'm really looking at, but I'm really getting the sense as this process has gone on that I don't think there were really any front runners for the manager position. We thought there was a small number of guys. Doesn't seem that way. That makes me a little nervous.
It makes me very nervous for the way that this is going down. So the way it's playing out in the media has been strange. Like, just obviously the fact that Eric Wedge got interviewed. And look, the other thing is about this is if he's come out and say that they don't have a guy, he's going to have to interview people. Whether it's a real interview or not, he's going to have to interview some people. Maybe guys like Eric Wedge and Rob Thompson. Rob Thompson definitely deserves an interview. There's no doubt about it. The guy's been with the franchise for such a long time, and pretty much everybody who talks about him has glowing things to say. So if you're not getting an interview and you're in his position, you're probably not staying with the organization, I would think. I would feel like at some point you got to make that next move, right? Like at some point when that position is open, and now it's open, that if you're not even at least considered, then you're going to have some kind of a gripe with that organization at that point or move on where there's greener pastures. But so Cashman has to interview people. And I think this process, there's no pretty way to do it at this point, because now that he's talked about there's no front runner, there's a whole bunch of candidates. It's not a pretty process, in my opinion, like the way that this has gone down. I would have much rather him say, I know my guy. This is my guy. This is who's going to take us to the next land.
A lot of the other manager positions have been filled, pretty much all the other ones.
All
right?
Of them. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not necessarily bad, because there's still plenty of candidates out there, as we found out that the Yankees have a lot of guys in mind for the position. But it just, I don't know why they're going through this sort of process where it doesn't seem like Cashman has a short list. I thought, you and I gave Cashman the benefit of doubt that we thought he had a short list after he let Girardi go.
I still think that there is a plan in the behind the scenes. I know Cashman doesn't reveal everything he does to the media. So the fact that he's interviewing some of these guys when they're coming out and talking about, they know that they're also still trying out when they're talking to the media. So you're going to get some answers that are, you know, pretty canned, I would assume. I still think there's this process is there. And I still believe, even though there are all these rumors of all these things that are happening and people are being interviewed, I still think that in his mind, he's got a guy or two guys.
You think it's still going to get done this month?
I hope so. I mean, you got winter meetings coming up. You damn well want to have your manager in place by then. You'd think you'd want to have it in place for, you know, when the holidays strike, because as soon as Thanksgiving comes, it's just, you know, December is pretty quick with the winter meetings and then Christmas and all the different holiday stuff that happens. So, I would think that they need to lock it up soon. I mean, the other thing about not locking it up soon is that the media you're just giving that much more attention to the fact that you don't have a manager at this point.
Right.
And that's not good.
it allows for the media to go wild with all these rumors.
Yeah.
And then that's why we get these David Cohn and John Flaherty and Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone rumors. Seriously?
I mean, Aaron Boone is one of those younger guys who's in the media.
Stop.
And no, I'm telling you, he's one of the sexy guys out there that could be a potential candidate. I mean, you see a lot of those guys come from the booth and they go down and all of a sudden they're in a position of manager or, you know, front office or whatnot. So, I mean, I get it.
Do you think Aaron Boone would be considered or in this rumor situation had he not hit that home run in 2003 off Tim Wakefield?
Yeah, probably.
No, I don't.
Because he's in the media.
I don't think so. No, I don't think he'd be in the media. I don't think he would have a job at ESPN if he didn't hit that home run.
Let me tell you something. If Tim Hasselbeck has a job in the media, any former player who tries can have a job in the media. Anybody.
Because he's
the worst thing that's ever graced the television screen. The worst.
You're saying Tim Hasselbeck is the Aaron Boone?
Yeah, he's pretty close. I'd say it's a pretty fair comparison. A journeyman. I think I'm actually knocking down Aaron Boone a little bit for that. I think Tim Hasselbeck is a waste of space. But when you're looking at guys who are former players that go into the booth, I think a lot of those guys, if they have any kind of personality, they're going to do well.
See, I think Trent Dilfer is more of an Aaron Boone comp. Since Trent Dilfer had a moment, he won a Super Bowl. I know Aaron Boone didn't win a World Series, but hitting a home run to send a team to the World Series is kind of huge.
Yeah, but I don't mind Trent Dilfer. So Tim Hasselbeck, just because they're bald doesn't mean they're the same guy. That's being prejudiced towards bald men.
Bald white guys? Yeah, they're the same guy.
Yeah, see, Larry David would have a problem with this.
Does it worry you at all that Brian Cashman was asked on that conference call, is A-Rod a candidate, and he didn't say no?
And A-Rod has not denied it either, has just dodged questions. Someone sent us a tweet about that as well.
It's the unspoken sort of thing.
Yeah.
A-Rod and is the next manager of the Yankees. And A-Rod no one's really commenting on it.
A-Rod's been on a media blitz lately, if you've noticed. He's been everywhere.
He's been everywhere for a year.
No, but in the past 2 weeks, he's been on a media blitz. He's been doing a lot of interviews over the past 2 weeks, some extended interviews, a lot of them towards the business side, but then talking more about baseball. He did some stuff with the Yankees. He's been around. He's been
on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
He's been doing all
But
this
I mean
stuff.
In the last 2 weeks he's ramped it up. He's ramped up the public eye. He was doing those GQ shoots where he's like grabbing a handful of J-Lo's. I mean, like, it's pretty crazy that some of these pictures that were out there.
Of J-Lo's what?
Of J-Lo's booty.
There's a lot to grab.
Yeah. I mean there was a lot going on with A-Rod over the past 2 weeks.
Good for A-Rod.
So who knows? Maybe A-Rod is the silent assassin coming in and going to be the next manager. Who knows? Maybe it's true.
If you were A-Rod
I would go
going
insane.
With J-Lo, if going out with J-Lo, all that kind of stuff, would you want to be the next manager of the Yankees?
Why are you saying this? Why? You're acting like he's not the biggest narcissist in the face of this planet. Yes,
no,
of course he would. He doesn't care.
No, no, no.
He does anything that puts him in a spotlight and puts him in a position where he can be the guy.
That is way too much stress. Are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, he would love it. He would love it. He would love to be that guy. We'd have to listen to his lisp. You're the manager of the New York Yankees.
That's another reason why I was shocked when David Cohn threw his hat in the ring. Because why the hell does David Cohn want that kind of stress? David Cohn is doing a couple games on Yes a year. He doesn't want to be. He wants to be calling Yankees baseball, not actually managing it.
Yeah, Coney, obviously he's a big into the numbers this year too. He was diving constantly, throwing out statistics during the broadcast.
Do you think there was an ulterior motive there the whole season?
Potentially. Potentially there was, so he was laying some groundwork. He's like, look, I know numbers, as he's reading it from a book. Like, I know the numbers. I'm a big analytics guy.
Cashman also said he's open to hiring somebody who has no managerial experience. And you and I sort of have talked over the last couple weeks. We think it's going to be somebody in-house, maybe somebody who has had experience in the past, like an Al Padrique type or somebody like that. If they hired somebody who has no managerial experience, no real coaching experience at any level, is that going to concern you?
At this point, I can't really say that. I can't say yes, it will, because I mean, you're looking at look at Dave Roberts, what he just did. He walked down from the Dodgers booth and went into the position of manager and took them to the World Series. Granted, they had a ridiculous payroll. They had a lot of weapons at his disposal. But to me, that's at this point, the way that the Yankees roster is and the way things are going, like, it's really, you have to manage the guys and you have to have, I think you have to be a guy that's able to get the best play out of your guys. And I don't know that you necessarily need the most managerial experience for that, for what they're trying to look for in today's manager, because so much of it is driven by the numbers and so little of it is driven by the eyes, that, you know, what's experience do for you when you can just go back to a formula?
Well, experience makes the rest of us feel good.
It does. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, it gives us confidence that the guy who was just hired knows what he's doing. And if he has no experience, it's going to make us second guess it. Well, that's just the reality.
Yeah, and that's why I think guys like Eric Wedge, or a guy that's been around the block a few times, is an integral part to, you know, a coaching staff when you bring on a guy with little or no experience. I think those guys are integral in the way that, you know, they can lend a you know, an ear, or they can just be a guy basically to consult you throughout the season and just kind of talk you through situations, how they have done it in the past. Whereas the new guy can then, you know, take what he's learned and what he's seen as a player, and then, you know, from consult from other guys who have been in manager positions, and then go to the numbers, and then they kind of learn on the job. I mean, look, it's happening all over baseball, so it would not surprise me if it was the direction. It really wouldn't surprise me.
Right, because Eric Wedge has experience, but are we happy with that experience? Probably not.
Well, exactly. And that's why I wouldn't, I mean, like, a guy like Eric Wedge to me is a valuable asset on a coaching staff. I don't want him as my manager, though.
Yeah. Cashman also said that he doesn't foresee any heavy lifting with the roster, which is pretty obvious because the roster has a lot of young kids on it. It has a lot of players with set positions. So I was just sort of trying to think what, if there was any actual lifting to be done, where it would be. The spots I sort of thought of were DH, which you and I have answered a couple mailbag questions over the last couple weeks on the DH spot. I think they need to sign another starting pitcher. Maybe that's Sabathia. Maybe it's another free agent, but they need more starting pitching depth. And then I think the big thing is going to be clearing an outfield spot, whether that's Ellsbury or Gardner.
Yeah, and I, you know, those types of decisions at this point, I mean, they're not going to be done by the manager. Brian Cashman is going to take care of the decision, especially with the outfield. The outfield's an interesting one. I mean, obviously, we all know that they're trying to shop Ellsbury. They're trying to get rid of the contract. They're trying to get rid of the player because he's pretty much, at this point, doing nothing for this roster. I mean, he was a guy who had stepped in this year due to injuries, and had, like, what, a 2 week maybe a 2 to 3 week like spurt, yeah, where he was back. Ellsbury is like the guy he almost used to be for that one back season, maybe, and then no, and then he was back to being Ellsbury again. So
he was, quote, back, like, hitting .275.
He was a warm body when we needed a warm body, but, you know, the Yankees went through a lot of different options in that outfield. I mean, we saw guys getting called up, like Clint Frazier, when in no way to. Did the Yankees at that point, when he got called up, even think he was ready? Kind of got thrown into the fire because of injuries, and that's why Ellsbury, you know, had some more time. But he doesn't fit this team. They're chock full of guys who can come up and play. Like, give me a Jake Cave over Jacoby Ellsbury on the roster. Like, I would legitimately prefer that.
Realistically, he makes $21 million a year. Ellsbury does. How much are the Yankees going to have to eat if they want to trade him?
They're going to have to eat, I think, half the contract. I think it's going to have to be a significant amount of the contract. It's going to be a total dump. It's going to be a dump. They'll maybe get a very low-level guy, if that, and then they'll eat some of the money. But no, it's going to be
more than some. It's going to be the majority.
They're going to be eating a lot of the money if they get rid of him. It's the only way to do it.
But that's addition by subtraction.
I think so. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's the reason they got rid of A-Rod last year. They had to get rid of him because there was no spot for him on this team any longer. So they, addition by subtraction, they ate the entire contract, spent a lot of money. It's a different situation in the sense that he's not like a, it's just a different situation. But I don't think there's no love lost between the Yankees and Jacoby Ellsbury. I mean,
there was no love ever.
They'll dump him.
Love never existed.
Yeah.
If they have to eat 15 of the 21 million, I think that's actually realistic. You're going to have to pay 15 million bucks a year for Ellsbury not to play on your team.
It's possible. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they paid that much money. But I think that that Brian Cashman needs to just eat it and needs to do it. Because he's not the same player.
Well, it's not Brian Cashman. He'll never be there. Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner has to sign off on that.
He does have to sign off on it, but Cashman has to orchestrate the deal. Brian Cashman has to show that it's a possibility that it can be done, at least to get some reprieve from that contract. There needs to be some kind of a deal that maybe somebody needs. They just need a veteran guy, and they don't want to pay a lot of money, and there's nobody out there that fits their bill. And Jacoby Ellsbury, for the right price, would fit their bill. And that's what they need to find.
Because even if Clint Frazier starts in AAA, which he might very well at this point, he doesn't need an entire season at AAA. He'll be up fairly quickly, so he needs to play. You have Judge, obviously, Hicks, and either Gardner or Ellsbury. That's the real logjam, is Gardner or Ellsbury. And none of us want to see Brett Gardner traded. The realistic possibility is Brett Gardner getting traded because he's a much more attractive player. But you can't have Ellsbury and Gardner on the team still. It's just too much of a duplicate player.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think Gardner's going anywhere at this point. I think he proved how much value, how much he has, especially to this young team. I mean, you can only have so much turnover. If you're getting rid of your manager, you're probably not going to be re-signing Matt Holliday. And then you were to get rid of a guy like Gardy, like that's three guys that were substantial leaders, veteran leaders in your clubhouse in a year that took you to the game 7 of the ALCS. I mean, you just can't do that. You cannot have that much turnover. To me, that right there is a ticking time bomb. You need veteran presence with a young squad. You have to have it.
I definitely agree. That's why it's interesting if what they do with the DH spot. And I know we have a mailbag question about this later, but it's interesting what they do with the DH spot if they let's just read that now because it goes very well. This is from Corey. He says, "What do you guys think about Matt Holliday's season and will he get re-signed?" I don't think either of us think he'll get re-signed, but the question is, what do they do at the DH spot? Do they hire somebody like Todd Frazier, who is also a veteran leader, to sort of come in and fill that void?
Yeah, see, I'm very interested to see how Frazier, how that goes down in this offseason. I mean, if he's going to get a multi-year deal from another squad, then you got to believe that he's going to go do that. The numbers that he put up really lead me to believe that he could actually benefit if he were to sign a one-year deal and then try to go after one more contract, but try to improve his numbers. And if you're looking at a team to do that, Yankee Stadium and this roster is a good team to be, trying to hit, much better with the statistics, get more run production. You got a lot of guys who are going to be on base. You got a lot of very good hitters. So theoretically you can get a lot of good pitches. I think it's a good position for him. If you were to sign a 1 year, maybe something with incentives, with a player option so that he could go out for that second contract, and make it a bigger one, or at least have the ability to stay on for another season. And he gives flexibility too. I mean, he plays third base. He could play. He's even said this towards the end of the season. He mentioned this. It was kind of in passing, but talked about how he could play the outfield and first base and things like that. So if that's something he's willing to do, and that's a position he wants to be on, then I think he is that guy as well that could fill in for a spot. And you're not losing another guy.
I think flexibility is the main key, because the lack of versatility for Matt Holliday come the end of the season and into the playoffs, I thought was a major problem. And I thought it was also a reason why he wasn't able to play in the playoffs, because the only spot was him for DH. The DH wasn't producing, but Girardi was not able to fit him into the DH spot because Holliday had no position. And I think that's a problem on this team.
Well, there's no doubt. You could tell towards the end of the season that it was becoming a major problem, the fact that he was non-versatile. There was zero versatility with him. I mean, the first base experiment didn't end well. He looked okay for the first game or two, and then he was just looking exposed. I mean, missing foul balls that were easy pop flies. Like, the guy was just, he's not a fielder any longer. He's a DH.
Right.
And unfortunately, he couldn't stay healthy this year. So I don't think they're going to re-sign him. I don't think it warrants them to re-sign him. But I think they will, you know, look for a guy similar to that. Or because of Chase Headley as well. I mean, when you're looking at the minor leagues, you're looking at position players ready to come up. Chase Headley's the guy that you circle, and he adds a lot of flexibility. And I think that they're going to need more time at that DH spot too for Gary Sanchez to get a few more at-bats as a DH and to, you know, get him a little bit more time away from being a catcher every single time. I think that DH spot is a good flexible position for him. And then also Judge. I mean, Judge is a guy that's going to have to, I think, come out a little bit more often than he did this past year. I think he's going to break down quickly if he's playing almost every single day all year for, you know, 5-6 years in a row.
It makes sense, doesn't it? Just the body type. Just get him off his feet. He's too big to be out there every day.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at some guys who are massive human beings who did it for a long time. I mean, Winfield did it for a long time. Frank Thomas had a long career. There are guys who can do it, but when you're playing right field and you're laying out like the way Judge does, it's just, I think he's a different type of athlete as well. I mean, I don't think we've seen anything like him because he's such a specimen. And I mean, he's what, 6'7", runs. And if you didn't know how big he was and you saw him from a distance, you just saw the way he moved, you'd think he was like 6'2", because that's how athletic he is. He moves like a guy who's 6'2", 6'3".
And that's also part of the reason why he's on MLB The Show 2018 cover. New face of baseball.
Oh, he's the face of baseball, baby. That's it.
We were sort of joking about it all summer after the home run derby, after what he did, sort of winning the All-Star break, right? He was what MLB was hoping for. Massive human being, a guy they've never seen before, hitting 50 home runs this season, winning the home run derby, being the most popular guy at the All-Star break. And now he's on the cover of the most popular baseball video game. This is what MLB and the Yankees were hoping for.
Yeah, and again, I predicted this 2 years ago. I made a bet with my buddy that says Aaron Judge will be the face of baseball. Mark my words. This guy is the exact quintessential player that the Major League Baseball wants. And the fact that he delivered and hit 50-plus home runs as a rookie, like, that's the guy you want. They want the home run back. They want the home run back. They want the home run sexy again.
It's back.
And it's back. When you got Giancarlo Stanton and you got Aaron Judge in two different leagues, hopefully they stay in two different leagues unless they're on the same team, then you have very good things for baseball. And I expect next year you're going to see a lot of like back and forth with the Stanton-Judge thing. I think MLB is going to expose the living hell out of that because they're so similar in stature and you know, even their look. I mean, they have a similar look. They're just giants. So I think that they're going to be using those two guys quite a bit.
Are you getting worried at all that Stanton might go to the Red Sox? Because that seems to be heating up every day now.
Yeah, I am a little bit. It's a worry. It's an absolute worry. The only thing I'll say about that is that it's such a long and giant contract. Like, that's another guy who could break down. And I could see if the Red Sox were to do that, them getting stuck with a giant contract and a guy who comes to the American League and, you know, potentially fades out a little bit over time. But I don't know.
That would still suck for the next couple of years.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Because that's a thumper in the lineup. And the fact that, you know, if I swear to God, and I know we have a mailbag about this too, but if Jeter were to deal Giancarlo Stanton to the Red Sox as his initial move as owner, man, that would be a tough pill to swallow.
It's a slap in the face.
It would be a slap in the face. Yeah, it would be. And, you know, I don't care if it's baseball, all baseball, and that's it. It's a slap in the face.
Baseball, Susan.
That's a slap in the face.
That's just business. It's not personal.
Oh, it's personal. It's personal.
Not personal to Jeter.
Yeah, damn.
Jeter, the new president, CEO of the Marlins.
Well, guess what, Jeter? Guess what, Jeter? It's personal to everybody else. Shit's personal. You can't do that. You cannot do that.
That's exactly why I think Jeter would do it.
You know what I was watching the other day that brought back memories? And I got to look at the time frame, and I got to believe it was afterwards. You know how Jeter's like boy was, or still is his like closest guy, friend, is Gerald Williams. I think they came up together around the same time. Gerald Williams was a hot prospect with the Yankees. He had a couple like seasons, but never was the guy that they really thought. Do you remember when he charged the mound against Pedro when he was playing with the Diamondbacks?
Of course.
Yeah.
No. Rays. Tampa.
What did I say? Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. The Tampa Bay Rays. They're both, you know, one of those expansion teams.
Fake teams.
Yeah, one of the fake teams. But I was watching that. The video came up somehow, you know, on one of those Facebook pages, popped through my screen. I was like, whoa, I haven't seen this in a long time. And yeah, Gerald Williams coming after Pedro Martinez. I loved it. I loved it. So this is leading me to believe that Derek Jeter is not going to do business with the Red Sox.
you did a whole
yeah. This is
a lot of backflips.
Yeah, I'm like,
there,
why is this on my screen?
Jeter's not dealing
why
with
is this
Red
on
Sox.
My screen? Why is Derek Jeter's best friend going after Pedro right now? Oh, because this trade's not going to happen. That's my justification. It's like, you know, it's the world telling me that trade's not going to happen.
If the Marlins deal Stanton to the Red Sox, how much does that hurt Jeter in Yankees fans' minds?
I don't think it really does. I think it's very much on the surface.
I think it does a little bit. I honestly think it does a little bit. Like 10%.
The only reason I will say that the potentially that has some potential to do harm is because now there are new guys in the minds of Yankee fans. And I don't want to get, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I love Derek Jeter. I will always love Derek Jeter. But
yeah, that's there are some people. You got to throw that in there.
Yeah, there are some people in this world that are younger fans probably that maybe don't have the same connections to Jeter. They just know him as the guy who they maybe.
Isn't that weird?
Maybe they saw him play. Maybe they saw the tail end of it. Maybe they, you know, maybe they didn't see him play and just know who he is. And now their guys are all these guys in front of us, Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez. Like, these are the guys now. So if Derek Jeter, the Yankee that everybody would talk about, and I'm talking about the younger fan base, maybe in, you know, that's like in middle school, high school, I'm not even going to say college, middle school and high school, like those guys don't really know him as much. They know him from their parents or whatever. So yeah, that's going to damage the reputation of Derek Jeter in the mind of those fans. Me? Guys who grew up with Derek Jeter as watching him? No, it's not going to affect him one bit.
See, I think that Jeter is trying to channel Steinbrenner, George Steinbrenner.
And just be ruthless?
Ruthless. Ruthless businessman. Steinbrenner freaking was trying to sell Winfield down the river. He was hiring private investigators to try and get shit up on him. Jeter wants to just be that shrewd businessman.
He wants to be a winner. He wants to be the... Yes. He's a winner. That's what he wants
he's
to
a,
be. He wants
he's
to,
a born winner.
Yeah. He's a winner. He wants to be a winner, and that's what he does. So he doesn't really care what's in his tracks. But I must say, he does usually do the right thing at the end of the day. Derek Jeter does the right thing at the end of the day. Nine times out of ten.
If you're listening, Derek, do the right thing. Yeah. Don't trade Stanton to the Red Sox. Any other team will accept him to any other team. The Mets, the Blue Jays, whatever you want to do, just don't do it to the Red Sox.
Yeah, preferably to the Cardinals in the National League, though. That sounds like the deal that's the most heated up. I mean, that's what I've heard rumors about, that, you know, the sources, all these sources coming out saying that St. Louis has the package that they want. So hopefully that deal goes through.
I also heard the Astros is rumored. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
I don't want them going to the Astros either.
Way too many home run hitters in that Astros lineup if they get Stanton.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Sad news, obviously, over the week is Roy Halladay's death. And he died in a plane crash. Instantly brought back memories of Corey Lytle and obviously Thurman Munson for some older Yankees fans. But did you hear the Boston radio guy mocking Roy Halladay for flying a plane and dying?
I heard about somebody doing it, and I really didn't give it too much attention because I just chalked it up to some guy being an asshole, trying to make waves, and you know, it's the old shock jock stuff that guys just try to make a headline. So
his point was,
I don't even know his name.
That his name is Michael Felger.
I don't even care what his name is.
Whatever. I used to listen to that radio station when I was back in Boston. His point was that Halladay. He's stupid for dying that way because he was flying a plane and he's probably not experienced enough to be flying that plane and he might have been showboating it. And it's just his basic overall point was that it's sort of like a sad death because it wasn't an accident. It was just sort of somebody being stupid and dangerous, which is fine. He just mocked him, which was stupid. But all the news that came out with Halladay, and I don't really want to talk about getting to anything about his actual death. I just sort of want to talk about what Roy Halladay was as a player, because I think that's what you and I would rather talk about. Roy Halladay was freaking awesome. And Roy Halladay was unlike a lot of pitchers during that mid-2000s era, where he was the complete game guy. He was the workhorse who would go 9 innings when everyone else was going 7 innings. And anytime Roy Halladay was going up against the Yankees, you were like, shit, we're probably going to lose tonight.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that was an automatic loss. You knew you weren't going to get a lot off of him. I mean, he was just, he was a fun guy to watch pitch because he was such a workhorse. I love the story that how he got completely torn down, basically sent down to the single A, and then reinvented himself and came up and just dominated. I think that's awesome. There's a particular guy that I know he like basically, you know, credits that rebuild that second half of his career to. But I think it's just such a cool story about how you can, you know, find yourself at a position. You're in Major League Baseball. You're not doing well. You tear it down. You build it back up again, and then you dominate. Like, that's awesome. That should give every single person hope. and he was a guy that's one of the best right-handed pitchers that I've ever seen pitch. So, Roy Halladay will definitely be missed. And any of this other nonsense that these people are talking about, it's just them making asses of themselves trying to make some headlines.
Definitely. Shohei Ohtani chose an agency, creative artist agency, so he will be playing Major League Baseball 2018. That's huge news, obviously. He's the most coveted free agent from the international market. A lot of people, a lot of Yankee fans want to see him playing for the Yankees. It looks like that the Ham Fighters are going to get that $20 million posting fee that you and I were talking about last week.
Yeah, I guess there are some little things that need to happen as far as, you know, getting I's dotted and T's crossed for that to go down, but that's what it seems like. It seems like it is happening. We've been talking to a couple guys to get on the show. Hopefully we'll have even more information on that next week. We're working out some things scheduling wise with a couple guys to come in and talk a little bit more about Ohtani. But look, the guy's coming over. I think it's the right move because to me, the agents just want to get him over here, you know, so that they can get their paws on him, get some control and have him in Major League Baseball, because it doesn't do them any good if he's waiting. You know, it does. The only people it does good is the contract that Ohtani is going to make, but he can still benefit from being over here. So I think the faster he gets over here, the better for everybody. And it seems like he wants to. So that's what's, I think, driving the reason why they're making this work.
Yeah, kind of. It's interesting, right? Because he could make more money if he just waits a couple seasons. But the fact that he's coming over now kind of makes you feel like he wants it more, don't you think?
Well, I think it's a good thing, yeah, because I think if he did wait, I mean, you know, once he's 25 and he's able to get more money, obviously he'd come over with a bigger splash. But at the same time, now he's going to, if he comes over this year, he could kind of prove himself here and get a giant contract by showing what he can do here. So yeah, I think that's nothing but good news for anybody who signed him. I think that he's going to be playing for another contract, which is also a very good thing for anybody who signs him. And the value for this guy coming over right now is stupid. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Yankees need to go all in on trying to get him, because the money that would be spent for a guy that supposedly he is, and you know, I've been listening to just different guys talking about this on like Sirius Radio and things. And it seems like a lot of the, I think it was the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Red Sox and the Yankees all had like A+ grades on this guy, the scouting departments. And so with all these guys, just, I mean, even if they're not in the running for it, cause some of those teams can't even sign him really. But the fact that they all have like A+ grades on this guy that he's coming over leads me to believe that, you know, he's got a very high potential of doing well. And if you can get a guy that has a high potential of doing well, that is a pitcher and a hitter, and however the hell you want to use it, whatever you're going to do, but you have that the potential for that guy coming over and signing an extremely team-friendly contract, you got to go all in, because he's not going to cost a lot of money and he could be an extreme impact player.
That's the thing. The all-in is not really going all-in. You don't have to risk a lot to get this guy. So even if he stinks after a couple seasons, it's not that big of a financial risk. Right. So if the Yankees want to sign him for the $5.5 or $6 million, depending on what they have in the international signing pool money to sign him for, it's not that big of a financial risk. So they can sign him, and if he stinks, they just move on.
And when I'm talking about going all in, I'm talking about with the recruitment on the recruitment side. They better start pulling anything and everything. Like, let's go after this college football style. Let's make sure this guy signs. I don't care what you got to do. Recruit.
So Brian Cashman's going to be sleeping at his mom's house. Yeah.
Anything. You got to pull out all the stops on Ohtani when he's coming, because you know where the money is. Everybody's on the same level at that point, right? I mean, the guys that are able to sign him are pretty much at the same point. So now you got to sell him on why you're better and why your team is better. And if the Yankees can't do that, then there's something wrong. But they should go all in and do it tenfold.
The Yankees, the Dodgers, maybe the Mariners, just because of Ichiro and the history they have with Japanese players, those are kind of the leading candidates to get somebody like this.
Right, but there's a limit for the teams that are even allowed to get him because of the international pool money.
At this point, like you said, the money doesn't really matter. It's about where he wants to play. What Major League Baseball franchise does he want to play for?
Right. And, you know, there are some teams that are completely out of it because of how little they have. And you know, they really wouldn't be able to sign him even for the short term. So I do believe that when you're talking about, like, this guy that, yes, the amount of money that you have plays a small amount into it, because that's the money he's getting currently. And right now that is something. Like, obviously this guy's looking down the road for bigger contracts. There's no doubt about it. But at this point, where can you get that bigger contract? How can you have more success so that you can play well and then get that bigger contract? Like, that's what has to be, to me, led, you know, why he's going to drive a decision. Where's his best chance to win and show what he can do now?
So what you're saying is you don't want Eric Wedge going over there and recruiting him.
No, I do not want Eric Wedge going over there. I don't know. Doesn't Nintendo own the Mariners?
Do they?
Do they still own them? They did. I don't know if
they still
do.
Starbucks did.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a lot of guys from Nintendo that owned them, unless they've sold off. It was whatever.
Not a clue.
I don't know the up-to-date ownership details of the Seattle Mariners. But what I'm getting at is that Eric Wedge was a fired Seattle Mariner, and there are Japanese relations there with the businessmen. So no, I have a feeling that there have been conversations about Eric Wedge. You know, I don't know how he's in with the ownership of the Seattle Mariners right now. I just don't know. I don't want Eric Wedge anywhere near this.
Before we get into mailbags, I want to remind you where to submit mailbags at bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. It really is the driving factor this offseason. You guys telling us what you want to hear. So tweet us, and also send your mailbag questions to bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. At Yankees Podcast, my handle is at @Andrew_Rotondi, and Scott's is at Scott Reinen. Okay, let's get into some mailbag questions. The first one is from Zach Waters. He says, how in the world did Gardy not repeat as a Gold Glove winner? Gordon was hurt for half the season and didn't produce. I also recall seeing a tweet saying that among qualified players, Gardner was the only one with 1,000 fielding percentage. Not quite sure what qualified means, but 1,000 fielding percentage for an everyday fielder seems pretty Gold Glove quality to me. So Zach is concerned with the Gold Glove here, and this is one of those awards that I do not give a crap about.
No, but it leads you, when you're looking at the numbers and what Gardy does and the fact that he's won it before. I mean, I know Alex Gordon, I don't even know how many he has, but I know he's won multiple Gold Gloves. So, and a lot of times I think with these types of awards, they give it to the same guy over and over again. It just feels like one of those awards that they do. You know, I don't know. I got no answer for you. I have a feeling it's some political stuff that goes on with that as well. But I agree with you that 1,000 seems pretty qualified.
Absolutely. I always remember the Rafael Palmeiro in 1999 winning the Gold Glove with 28 games played at first base.
Yeah.
And once you do that, once you award a guy with 28 games played at a position as a Gold Glove, it's just a joke award.
I agree. I remember that year, and I'm looking at that. I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense how a guy that has played such little time deserves a Gold Glove, because I mean, that's what it is. It's an achievement award more based on what your career has done. I think it's really just a popularity thing for defense, and you see a lot of repeat winners throughout.
Yeah, you and I both know Gardy is a phenomenal left fielder. So whether he wins the Gold Glove award or not, I don't really care. The next question is from he's a Twitter question at Creature. His name is Creature at Chris Critoro. I was reading MLB Trade Rumors top 50 free agent list, and they peg Al Avila signing with the Yankees. I think he'd be a good complement to Gary, given Avila's solid track record of defense and more consistent hitting he showed this year. Just a thought as a backup catcher option. What do you think?
I don't think they're really going to address the backup catcher option right now. I mean, I think what they're Romine's going to be coming back. I think that's what they're going to look at. If anything, they look maybe to add some depth in the catcher in the minor leagues with like smaller trades. But you know, I know they got Heggie down there who battled injuries. He did not play well when he came up. I mean, he had one of the longest hitless streaks to come up. At that point, you're just like rooting for this guy to get a hit. But I know they have him back there in AAA, and they do have a couple other options. But I think maybe a depth thing, a move, as you're going to see. I don't think you're going to get a flashy guy like this. 2 years, $16 million, was that the deal he signed, or was that one that MLB Trade Rumor pegged him at?
Exactly. That's what MLB Trade Rumors is projecting for him.
Yeah.
And they also said that they expect him to look for a team that will give him regular playing time.
Which will not happen.
And I just don't think the Yankees would ever give him regular playing time.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good fit. I think he's going to go to a different team. And, you know, why are we spending $8 million on a backup catcher when we already have one? I don't know. Who is already familiar with the majority of your staff. They're not getting,
exactly.
I mean, that's, Romine's not going anywhere. That's the that's the thing. Like, there's no spot for him. I don't know why he was pegged as a Yankee signing.
Well, this is less about Avila's qualifications as a backup catcher and more about what actually fits this team.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know why MLB Trade Rumors pegged him as a sign from the Yankees. It doesn't make, it's not a fit. The fit's not there.
I've also noticed that MLB Trade Rumors kind of seems like they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think they throw out a lot of stuff. They're like, oh, Avila, he does, that money looks good over here. Gary Sanchez, I don't know the name of their backup catcher, but maybe they need a backup catcher. That's what people do from a distance. We have a backup catcher.
They were also the ones that said Tanaka is going to opt out and sign a $100 million contract with Philly.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So I don't think it's a fit. I don't think, but I, you know, again, like talking about what I think they're going to do is they'll fill that DH spot with someone who's got flexibility, whether it's staying with a guy like Todd Frazier, if they were to come up with something that was agreeable there, or going out and getting a guy that's, you know, a little bit more flexible. You know, I don't think it's going to be a big splash though. And they're not going to be spending a lot of money on that guy. I mean, especially now when they're trying to, they will be under the tax threshold. That's one of the main objectives of the offseason. So they're not going to be going out and spending $16 million on a backup catcher that they don't need.
Exactly. The next question is from Alex, and he says, since we're probably not going after any big time free agents this year, do you think we should spend our time locking up the young kids and avoid arbitration so Randy Levine doesn't piss everyone off? I kind of like that last part of that question. You and I have talked about maybe the Yankees locking up Gregorius just because he's in his second year of arbitration and we think he's earned it. But I think there's also some options the Yankees have with Sanchez and potentially Judge locking them up to long-term contracts at this point.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they handle Judge and Sanchez because, you know, with the trends of these long contracts with player opt-outs at a certain point, but it kind of stretches the money out. It makes it a little bit more team friendly. I could see them going after. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think that after maybe another good season, you could see something like that. Granted, it would lessen their position to negotiate at that point. I mean, if you have two big seasons under your belt, but I mean, you don't get any hotter right now than Aaron Judge, especially the way he finished the season. And then Gary Sanchez came off of another ridiculous year, and you see those two guys' numbers for their first 2 years. And you know, you're talking about like Gehrig and Ruth and like guys you do not want brought up in any kind of a negotiation. Didi's the guy I think that they really need to look at, second year of arbitration. This is a guy that absolutely deserves a long-term contract with the Yankees. And I think that this is the guy that they should focus on.
Well, with Judge and Sanchez, don't you think at least with Judge, now he's on the cover of MLB The Show, that he's not going to sign before his contract, before he's a free agent? He can get money doing all these endorsement deals. He's not worried about money. He's more worried about just proving himself and then signing a mega contract when his contract is up.
Yeah. Well, I think Aaron Judge, too, people are going to kill me for this because it goes back to the person actually caring about where they play. And a lot of people don't think that people care about that, but I think that's wrong. I think people do care about that. I think the fact that Aaron Judge, while he is this massive human being, while he is putting up these gaudy numbers, it's so important for him to be with the New York Yankees because it elevates him so much more. I mean, look what Giancarlo Stanton was before this year. He can disappear very fast if he has like a bad week or two being in Florida and Miami. It's an easy, when you go to a place like that, it's easy to disappear from the national spotlight. Aaron Judge being in New York is so very much in the spotlight all the time that it's such a benefit to him if he's, you know, if he's playing remotely well. So I think it is extremely important for him, especially to stay in New York because of the marketing side of it. I mean, I just don't think you're going to get those major, you know, national marketing dollars if you're playing in a smaller market. So I think it's beneficial for him too. So I could see him signing a contract with the Yankees.
Also, the first thing they have to do before they sign any young players is actually sign a manager.
That is true. Got to sign a manager. Well, actually, you don't need to, I guess. He's just going to be managing the players that Brian Cashman puts in front of him. But
the final question is from Chris, and he says, it's Chris from Toronto. My question is about Brandon Morrow. He revitalized his career with the Dodgers this season after being called up in June. He's 33 years old, going to be 34 in 2018, and really wouldn't cost that much annually, maybe 3 years, $24 to $26 million. He would be another good asset if Green works out as a starter, if the Yankees try that. Because of his multi-inning ability and 98-mile-an-hour gas, what are your guys' opinions on this guy?
So Morrow came, I mean, he's been around for a while. He was with the Blue Jays for a while. Is he one of the guys that wears the rec specs? Is he a rec spec guy? Or was he on the Blue Jays?
He's not one of the rec specs guys that I remember.
I thought he was. Brandon Morrow worries me as a long-term contract. One, I don't think the Yankees sign him because I don't think they need him. I think they have plenty of ammunition in their bullpen right now. There's no reason for them to go out and do this. Again, let's reiterate the point that they are going to be under the tax threshold this year, going out and spending money on Morrow. Whether it's a good deal based on the numbers that he had this year is a bargain if you're looking at the player and the contract. It's not what the Yankees need right now because they need to get under that threshold so that they can spend money in the future. Circling next year's free agent class. That's where they're looking at. So no, I don't think they're going to sign him. He's a guy that worries me. Anybody who signs him, they're going to have maybe, like, to me, they're going to have altogether maybe one good year out of those 3 years. I feel like he's such a target to suck again and to have such a down tick from what he did this year. I don't trust it.
Also, don't you think if the Yankees spend any sort of money this offseason, it's going to be in the rotation and not the bullpen?
Yeah.
The bullpen is not...
The bullpen's good.
Yeah.
It's fine. There's no reason for them to do anything there. And there's nobody to spend money on in the rotation. So it's just not going to happen.
Well, no, there's a fifth starter option.
Yeah, I mean, okay, but nobody substantial that they're even going to remotely look at. They're not looking at any of the top flight guys.
Ohtani? Would you consider that a substantial signing?
Yeah, I guess so, but that's not substantial money-wise.
That's also true. Yeah, I just think what Morrow's going to get as what he would be as another option for the 7th or 8th inning is ridiculous. It's just not something the Yankees are going to do. I think Morrow could be a good option for a lot of different teams. I just don't think he makes sense for the Yankees.
Plus, he's going to be... He wouldn't want to go to the Yankees on a deal like that because he's not going to be able to perform. I mean, he's not going to be locked into a position, but not on this team. He wouldn't be the 8th inning guy or the 9th inning guy.
Even the 7th inning. Even the 7th inning.
He'd be competing for a 7th inning job. Right. And who knows what the next manager does. Maybe he's all over the place. Maybe Aroldis Chapman's coming in the 6th with our next manager. Who knows? Maybe the numbers say that Aroldis Chapman, maybe we'll bullpen next year. I don't know. Who knows? We don't have a manager yet. It's too early to tell.
If they're going to bullpen, they need to sign a lot of bullpen guys.
Though. Yeah. Well, I mean, they can bullpen with starters. They're openers, remember.
I do remember that. All right, that is it for Mailbag Questions. Thank you guys for submitting. Again, bronxpinstripes.com/podcast to submit those mailbag questions. Still, Scott, no manager, which you and I don't have a clue why this is going on. Maybe by next show, we'll have a manager to talk about. Any last words before we get out of here?
Let's just say that they're not going to have a manager because I feel like we've been saying that they are going to have a manager. So, no, they're not going to have a manager. We're going to have another week of just talking about their manager. And unfortunately, we're not going to have a manager. Wink, wink.
Well, that's why I keep saying it, because I'm wishing it to become true.
I know, but I'm trying to anti-jinx you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys next week.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.